This is a replay of the Wednesday night, January 15th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoIP. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James, and we've got 3 hours to spend tonight. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. But last night, we didn't talk about Sam Moore and Dave Prater. I'll get it right. And I really wanted to because he was an interesting guy, and it was such an interesting part of history, and the whole Sam and Dave story was just fascinating as far as I'm concerned. Sam was from Miami. And he was certainly no angel in school. In fact, by the time he was in high school, he had fathered illegitimate kids. He was shot in school by the husband of a woman he apparently had been sleeping with, and all sorts of stuff like this. He later, in fact, I think it might have happened around the time he was working as MC at the King of Hearts, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. But whenever it happened, he was arrested and jailed for being a pimp. Yeah, so he was Peck's bad boy, but he was great at the King of Hearts. And the King of Hearts was a club in Liberty City, which was that and Overtown were the two sections of town that were, I won't say primarily African-American, entirely African-American. And so the King of Hearts was at 6000 Northwest 7th Avenue. And it was small venue, and it was owned by a guy who would later become the mayor of Sunrise in Broward County, and he would go to jail, and he would come back and be reelected as mayor. So it's like that. So here is Sam Moore, and he's sort of the MC and somewhat entertainer. And by the way, Sam was born in Miami, 1935, and died in right outside of Miami, Coral Gables, pretty much a suburb, just last week. So he was absolutely a local boy, and he was good. But one night, what occurred was it had an issue where you could come and do kind of like an amateur night, you know, talent contest of all. And Dave Prater was there, and Dave had originally been from Georgia, and he came down, and he was doing a song. I'm trying to remember the song, but the bottom line was he forgot the words. And so Sam jumped on stage, and, you know, the next thing they know, they're a duo. And it was Steve Alamo, who was working for Henry Stone, who was a record distributor in Miami. He had a one-stop and Tone record distributors. And so Steve Alamo saw them together and went back to Henry and said, "These guys are good. We need to release them." And the first single came out on one of Henry's labels, Marlin, "No More Pain, I've Got It, You Don't Want to Hear It." The second single, "Keep a Walkin'," was not bad. And I'll play you that one. I'm willing to do that. But it was good enough that Henry got on the phone with Moy Schleby and got the duo signed to Roulette. And they did 3 or 4 singles on Roulette, including they re-released "She's Keep a Walkin'," but nothing ever hit, and just didn't. And so the group wound up going back to becoming the property of Henry Stone again, and on one of his local labels, Alston. They released "Never Never," which I'll play for you also because I thought that was a great record. And so, of course, being a one-stop, you have relationships with every independent record label that doesn't have their own distribution. And one of those companies at the time would have been Atlantic. And so he got Sam and Dave signed to Atlantic, and they thought, woohoo, we're making it big now. Well, this was about the time that Atlantic had done the deal with Stax. And so, you know, here they think they're going to be going to New York and recording in New York and being on Atlantic. And they did release a single on Atlantic. That part is true. But next thing that happens is Wexler says, I'm going to send you to Memphis. And what's interesting is that was like a really big deal, obviously. And they're just bummed. Memphis, we don't want to go to Memphis, of course, and you know what happened there. Hooked up with all the folks at Stax, it was hit after hit after hit after hit. And for a brief period of time, if you will, looking at back historically, we're talking from say 65 through about 68, 69, maybe 68. Really, the interesting part of this is that the duo, I don't know that they were ever very close, but, yeah, the big but. Dave Prater in 1968 shot his wife, Annie, and they got a divorce in 1969. He married somebody else who he stayed married to for the rest of his life. But anyway, Sam was so incensed at this, he said to Dave, well, I'll work with you on stage, but I'll never speak with you again. And so the rift was beginning. I had to look that up, by the way, because I knew that rift was infamous, but I thought, what is the deal on that? And that is the deal on that it was Sam incensed with Dave shooting his wife. By the way, he was never charged for that, and it was a domestic dispute, and his wife lived. It wasn't that he didn't kill her. But it was somewhat ironic in that Sam, like I say, here's a guy, an admitted pimp, goes to jail, has actually by now, I think the count was has 15 children. He really did straighten out, actually. In 82, he met Joyce, who became his wife, and wife till he died, too. And he really did straighten out. But after he and Dave were on the outs, what happened then was he decided he was going to pursue a solo career. He goes to New York. And in fact, he was working with King Curtis at the time King Curtis was murdered. But he had the unfortunate turn of events that he met Little Willie John. Now, believe me, I love Little Willie John in terms of a performer. I thought he was just tremendous. I love his records. But it was all that Sam needed. Little Willie John turned him on to heroin. And because Little Willie John was quite familiar with all of those substances and more. And so I turned him on to heroin, and this wound up 15 years of addiction. And, like most people addicted, eventually you get to the point where you're not trying to get high, you're just trying not to be too sick. And he was an absolute mess as far as that goes. And he was finally getting to the point where he saw that, this was probably not the way to go. And that's when he met Joyce and life turned around. Now, it's interesting because he was not initially a guy that you would think was socially conscious, if you will. And the truth is, I don't think it's mentioned in too many articles now. He thought Soul Man was originally about getting women. And I'm not making that up. And then later, you hear him talking about, it's about segregation, subjugation, liberation, the song of a lifetime that really becomes something of great meaning. And here I am, I'm a man who never had an education. I'm going to brag about this. And of course, that is the basis of the song, but he didn't know it originally. He just thought, oh man, I'm talking about getting women. But nonetheless, he wound up with a Grammy for that as best R&B performance, and there is just a treasure trove of history of Sam and Dave. Dave, by the way, when they split, because in 70 when Sam went to New York, it was to be a solo act. Dave continued. He actually got other Sams for a while, ultimately, before Dave's death, they did get back together. Dave, unfortunately, talk about an untimely death. It was a car accident. I think he hit a tree, and that was in 1988 in Sycamore, Georgia. He was only 50 years old, but their reunited tour didn't last all that long. But Sam Moore continued to perform, and the interesting thing is that Sam was so good. He was courted by a lot of people. In fact, Sam Cooke's family group wanted him to join that because he had done gospel. But by that time, he'd seen things like Jackie Wilson on stage. I'm not going the gospel route. And it was just electric when the two of them got together at this little dumpy club, the King O' Hearts. And Steve Alamo saw him. And if he didn't take him to Henry Stone, the rest would be history. But as it was, not, like I say, a tremendous amount of time, 65 through about 69, but hits that are still big to this day. So rest in peace, Sam Moore. And yes, I will play Keep a Walkin', which was the second thing that Henry recorded with Steve Alamo writing and producing. Then when they got him on Roulette, later it was released on Roulette. But when they got him back in 64, I thought that Never Never on Alston Records was a real woulda, coulda, shoulda. So we'll hear that as well. And I'm not going to play Soul Man because you've heard that everywhere you've heard an obit. However, if you flip the record over, May I Baby was just a treasure. So you'll hear that too. All right, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Any questions? Eduardo in Tampa, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley, good evening. Went to a nice networking event tonight, but so I don't know how to say this, but I think I might have like declared myself victorious over this position too early, because so I talked to Teresa today. She says, yeah, they're still interviewing people, so into next week.
That's unfortunate. Now, is it an open position now? I mean, are they actually hiring?
No, I mean, she just told me that they were just doing more interviews next week.
Oh, no, I understand that. But what I mean is this is a job that currently exists that somebody will be hired for, as opposed to just looking at it for future openings or something or down the road. Okay, so...
And it's posted multiple times, I noticed.
All right, so...
Since I've been waiting for an interview,
This is a job they're trying to fill. And as far as I can tell from your presence, calling the show and all that stuff, you'd be a natural for these jobs. If you're not getting...
I think so, yeah.
Right, but if you're
Especially since they're going to be working at night.
Well, at night, and like I say, still the bilingual aspect and your history and all that.
Of course,
So if you don't get this, and I hope you do, but if you don't get this, I would advise you to go back to her. I don't know how forthcoming she'll be, and say, hey, I want to improve my interviewing skills. I want to improve my chances. Would you be honest with me and tell me why I didn't get this? You need some feedback on this, because you should have been snapped up as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. Well, I plan on doing a follow-up email and then another call. I kind of want to spread it, talking to people tonight and then during the day.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be too, like,
you can't be
harassed.
You can't be all over it. No, that's not good. What I'm advising, that would be long after someone else got the job if you didn't. Not now. Not at all. Mm-hmm. But down the road, if you don't get this, I would hope that she would be willing to tell you, okay, what's going on here? Now, she may not. But I wonder if there's something that's stopping you that we just don't know about. You know, because I would think that now you've been in Tampa now how long?
Since May of 2023.
Okay, so we're talking going on 2 years here in this coming May.
In May,
I would have thought you'd have had a job in 2 weeks, and so. What I want to know is what's going on here, because sometimes there are things of which you're not aware that people are picking up on, and they're just saying, well, here's why we don't hire him. I'd want to know what that is.
Yeah.
Because I'm stunned that you're still looking, you know. You're not a convicted felon who murdered anybody. I mean, you know, we're not talking.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, so...
Nothing like that. Pretty honest person, hardworking,
right.
Yeah.
Right, so what is it that would stop them from saying, man, here's our guy?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, of course, is if they're counting numbers, you're a minority as well. So I mean, right there, it's not like, well, we didn't give it to you because we had to give it to a minority hire, you know, whatever. You fill that bill. I don't get it.
Yeah, the only thing I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but they had two. So they had a couple of young people there. One is going to school.
Okay.
The other person is kind of interested because they said, well, yeah, they just, she hasn't been there long, although I don't know how she was able to get in there because I've been on this since last year.
Yeah.
But they do want somebody at night, and I'm going to say that both of these people are working during the day,
okay.
So that really doesn't impact
right.
the position that's going to be at night.
Right.
So
right.
That's weird.
There's just something going on here, and we need to pinpoint it so we can figure out how you can get around it, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just...
Well, right now, we're kind of, like, speculating, but, I do plan on... I'm not going to... You know, I definitely plan on being semi-aggressive and, you know, following up with an email, another phone call, and...
Yeah, not too soon, but absolutely. You don't want to do this, like, every day and all that, obviously. That's that'll work against you. But sure,
kind
you
of spread
know.
It, spread it.
Yeah.
And since finding out today, they're still planning on doing more interviews and and we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed. But
yes. Well, and I will keep thinking a good thought, but I don't know. I just wonder. It doesn't make sense to me. I predicted you'd be working in under a month.
Yeah, and since it's posting multiple times.
Yeah, well,
that's
right.
Not to say it won't be happening, it won't be there again later on, but I just don't want to wait for the next round. So that's kind of, that would be disappointing.
Exactly. So, well, keep me posted.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I definitely plan on doing follow-ups.
Okay.
And we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I'll keep a good thought. And a fascinating process all the way around. I can't wait to hear the next next chapter in this particular soap opera. All right.
Yeah, maybe I'll call in tomorrow with something new.
All right, good deal. I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much.
All
okay,
right.
Have a good evening.
You too. So 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. James, well, that was the second thing that Marlon put out in 1961 on Sam and Dave, and man, they'd do that on stage, and yeah, it brought the house down. Not a very big house at the King O' Hearts. I like all the articles that say at the King of Hearts. Oh no, this is King O' Hearts, trust me. In any event, great record, and in fact, like I say, when Moish Levy picked him up after Henry Stone called him, They re-released it, and just nothing. And later at Roulette, they put him together with Henry Glover, no slouch when it comes to success in Soul, King, and everything else. And nothing. So we'll continue. And yes, Never Never, when they got him back in 64 from Roulette, they put out Never Never. And man, I thought it was a great record. So you hear that too. Well, right now you'll hear the news, and we'll talk to Donna and Jim and Jack and you too, coming up on WGN Radio. James, you know, I don't know who wrote it. I've got the 45. It's on Alston, which was one of Henry Stone's label, but not many writer credits. It's got his publishing company, Sherlin, but that's about it. Henry Glover supposedly produced it. Of course, he was working with them when they all were Roulette. But theoretically, with Sherlin, I think Henry Stone took the writing credits. I don't know, but that's the deal. I thought Never Never, you know, it's certainly more subdued than a lot of their high energy antics. But I thought it was a good record, and apparently Jerry Wexler thought it was good enough to sign them, and as I say, unbeknownst to them, they were going to Stax, and at the time, that meant nothing to them. They were not going to Atlantic, and the first thing that Stax released, they recorded it in 1965, but they released it, it charted January 1st, 1966, and that was You Don't Know Like I Know, and it was a top 10 soul record on the R&B charts. Got to number 90 on the pop charts, but that would change with Hold On, I'm Coming, which was number 1 on the R&B charts, and 21 on the pop charts. But it wasn't until Soul Man that they really had a pop hit. Of course, number 1 for 7 weeks on the R&B charts and number 2 on the pop charts. Pretty good. The only other top 10 they had on the pop charts was I Thank You, which is a follow-up in early 68. But we will play, like I say, Soul Man, the big one, the absolute breakout record. And no, Sam, it wasn't about getting girls. But actually, Isaac Hayes had been in Detroit, and he saw the scene of some of the burned out buildings from the riots, and he saw the word soul written on many of them, and he thought, there's a song here somewhere, and boy, there was. So yeah, but like I say, everybody knows Soul Man, but the flip side, May I Baby, was, I thought, another great record. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Donna is in Oak Lawn. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I don't want to put too fine a point on it, and the guy in Florida has been struggling now for trying to find a job.
Yeah.
When I was 59, my department was eliminated at the last hospital I worked at.
Mm-hmm.
I worked at a community hospital for 15 years, at a trauma center for 5 years, and at a teaching hospital, my last position, for 15 years. I was 59 when that last job was eliminated. I was vice president of a professional organization for several years. I had headhunters all over the country calling me. I had a position offered me in California when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
After 59, I went on computer every day, applied for 10 positions that were posted in Indeed, Gorilla, you name it, I applied for it, and had a couple of nibbles. But until I was 65, I did part-time work. I could not find a job to be for love nor money.
Unfortunately, it's a very well-known story. You know, it's always been the case in media, but I've learned since then that it's the case everywhere. And there's a variety of reasons, including just the fact that you're a drain to their group insurance plan. But there's many other things as well. And it's very, very common. I never asked Eduardo how old he was. You know, that didn't even occur to me. But maybe it is an age thing. I don't know.
And nobody ever said.
No, they won't tell. Absolutely. If that's the case, they're not going to tell him that.
Exactly. But they'll find every excuse in the book not to hire him.
Right.
And they won't to his face say it's how you're interviewing or somebody was better qualified. It's just
I hate to hear
whatever
it, but
reason.
I think you're right. Yeah, it is. I think you're right. And I hope that's not it, because that's very, very hard to overcome.
Because I ended up working for the feds in a part-time position at call centers for when Katrina was going on, and part-time work just about everywhere, doing just about anything to keep body and soul together. But no full-time work available. Not until I was 65 and took Social Security.
Interesting. Yeah.
Very frustrating.
It is.
And the sad part is, I'm still qualified.
Of course you are.
I'm still fairly knowledgeable about what's going on in hospitals, and not with a 10-foot pole.
Right. Right. Well, interesting. That's a very very perceptive comment, and we're going to find out. I'll ask him outright, how old are you? You know, but I hope it's not that. But that might be it, very simply.
And that's he had a good job in Chicago.
Yeah.
And the sad part is, I think he was working at Blue Cross.
Yeah.
Why hasn't he applied for Blue Cross down in Florida?
Well, you know, it's a different company. You do know that.
They're
not
states run different.
Right. Yeah.
They're sister organizations.
Yeah. Well,
and
right.
He has experience, and you know, there's a lot of cross.
I don't know. You know, that's interesting. I'm going to look it up. They might not be based in Tampa.
And that's true too.
You know, they could be elsewhere. Where in Florida are they based? You know, there are a lot of choices. And so, you know, how big a presence they have. Okay, well, they began in 1944 in Jacksonville. All right, well, that's nice. I don't know if they're still there, but I'll look it up. But that's interesting. All right.
But if he has insurance information and knowledge and a background, there are other insurance companies.
Oh, sure there are.
They haven't all pulled out of Florida.
Right. No, sure they are. Yeah, yeah. BCBS is still Jacksonville, 4800 Deerwood Campus Parkway. So that's not close by. But, right, especially, and I don't know that he has any experience at all in this, but one thing where you're worth your weight in gold is if you understand all the medical coding, especially since Obamacare. If you're good at medical coding, you work.
Well, it's not just for Obamacare.
Well,
it's
right. But what happened with
medical record departments are crying for coders.
Right.
Doctors' offices are crying for coders, and insurance companies need them too.
Well, what happened? The reason I mentioned Obamacare, not because of Obama, but so many things changed in that. So many codes changed, and that there weren't that many people who were up to date on coding at that point in time. And I knew one woman who was, and man, she was able to get anything she wanted in life itself. Now, prior to that, a lot of coding had actually gone offshore, and probably some of it still is. But it's intricate.
A lot of it is.
Yeah, but it's intricate.
Especially with the doctor's offices.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, the famous story was there was a woman, I don't remember if she was in Sri Lanka or where, but she did coding, and her employer, and it was a big health entity, didn't pay her. And what she said is, we don't have privacy laws where I live. If I'm not paid in 24 hours, everybody's medical record goes online. She got paid. And I thought, good for her. You know, but companies don't think about that. Well, maybe they should. Yeah.
Anyway, I figured I'd give you a different plan.
No, yeah, it's great. It's absolutely great advice. And even though BCBS is headquartered in Jacksonville, they do have an office in Tampa. Now, I don't know if they do more than marketing, but they've got one there, so maybe he should check that out.
Yeah.
All right, good
deal.
It's
another avenue.
Yes, absolutely. All right, good deal. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Take care, Raleigh. Have a good one.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Yeah, I never even thought about the age thing, but yeah, that I hope that's not it. All right, so we'll get back. We got Jim, we got Jack, we got Lisa, and Sherry. Oh, I'm glad to hear that. And one line, as soon as I release it, available for you right now, 888-876-5593. All right, but right now, I know if you listen to me, you love radio, because otherwise you wouldn't put up with me. Yeah, you'd have been gone long ago. Well, and if you love radio, you probably, like me, really noticed it, especially in the 80s and beyond, that radios that were being made just had lousy reception. It's as if somebody didn't care. Well, Bob Crane noticed that too, and he said, I could do something better. And that's what the C. Crane Company is built around, radios that just have superior reception. But these days, they have a number of other features too, and there's a ton of great radios to look at. And if you go to ccradio.com, you can see them all, as well as great information about radio. But one of the neat things is the CC Pocket. Not very expensive. It'll fit in the palm of your hand. And it is just great because it's got unbeatable AM/FM reception with crisp, clear audio for the small speaker. They also include earbuds if you want to hear it in very high fidelity. But in terms of just the speaker out of this small size, it's pretty darn good. And it's also got all the digital bells and whistles. It's got 5 memory buttons. You can instantly select your favorite station, do some presets. It also makes a great emergency radio because it's got a lighted dial and the NOAA weather band with the emergency alert. Very, very lightweight, very durable. And with me, I'm hard on my toys. So yes, this is. I'm not suggesting you drop it or throw it against the wall, but I can tell you that mine survived it. So bottom line is, it's easy to hold with rubber sides and a pocket clip, and it is just ready to go anywhere. And I think you're going to like it. So go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and look at the CC Pocket Radio. Now, if you can't go online and you're saying, "Well, I can't do that," well, call them. They've got the world's best customer service. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Yeah, 24 hours a day, they'll answer all your questions. They'll send you out a hard copy of the catalog if you want to just look through it before you order. But if you do want to order, they're online on the phone with you right there to do it. So whether it's 800-522-8863 or whether you're going to ccradio.com, you look at that CC Pocket Radio and you tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Because there's so much trouble in my little mind.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, the flip side of Soul Man, May I Baby. Oh, that was a terrific record. And both sides, of course, that was Booker T and the MGs that were backing them. And Isaac Hayes and David Porter wrote and produced it. And they were just wonderful, wonderful songs all the way around. So, yeah. Now, rest in peace, Sam Moore. So Dave Prater has been gone since 88. Like I said, that freak accident. I'm pretty sure he ran into a tree. But yeah, Sam was a reformed man, to say the least. Yeah, later playing golf and living the high life. But, man, early on, prison 18 months for procuring prostitutes. Kind of a sideline at the King of Hearts. Sorry, so 888-876-5593. Somehow I think the owner would have approved. All right, yeah, you'd have to know about Jack LaMelo. But, before the show, I thought, well, let me find a little more about him because, you know, I was aware of who owned it and how he became mayor of Sunrise and then how he went to jail on extortion and, yeah, extortion, by the way, and some other things. And, man, you're just not going to find out much. Oh, sure, you can read the court cases, but that's about it. All right, so 888-876-5593. Jack in St. Charles has a request. So, Jack, what is it you want to hear? Jack. St. Charles. Earth to St. Charles. St. Charles. All right, well, obviously, I could tell that Jack's phone was still there, but he's not. But Jim in Richmond is alert. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How you
I
feeling?
Got a lot. I feel fine. The injection site is a little sore, but I have a lot to tell you because I've been very busy and answering and just going to answer a lot of people's questions.
Let's hear them.
First off, going to the retinologist, I couldn't see much at all today because it was found out that the doctor said the eye was swollen.
Oh.
But when I went in there, you first check in with, you know, we're called triage, you know,
yeah,
she
sure.
answers all the questions
sure.
and
right.
stuff. And I told her that my A1C was 6.3.
Okay, good.
And then she took the pressures in my eye, and I was 10 and 13.
That's great.
I have never had that low of numbers
right.
in my eye.
Those are great numbers.
You know, but my eye was still swollen. Mm-hmm. And then I could see the big letter D on the chart. And I'm going, how come I can't even see what's on my table at home and I can see the D, you know? So then they took pictures of my eye and then there's a long wait to see the doctor. Mm-hmm. And the doctor came in. First thing he says, I tell you, brother, I apologize, but we've been very busy today because my brother one time complained because he was sitting out there for a long time.
Yeah.
But, you know, but anyways, he said, well, the eye is so swollen, we're going to give you Kenalog, and that's the steroid.
Yeah, I know.
And then I turned to him, and I go, okay, you gave me a shot of Eylea last time, and for a while it was good, and then it went really bad. I says, what's causing that? He goes, diabetes.
Okay.
And I said, I just told you my blood sugars were good.
Well, yeah, but
A1C
that,
was
right.
good.
Well, we're talking historically.
Then, right, but then he turned around, and he goes, no, you don't understand. Diabetic-wise, he says that your blood vessels in your eye, you know, I've gone through so much with all the
right.
lasers and everything, but he didn't say that. But he just says the diabetes in your eye.
Yeah.
It's not the diabetes in your body.
In your blood. No. What happens is
right.
over time, and this is also with your extremities, that's why people very often lose a leg or something like that, the blood vessels
mm-hmm.
in the retina, much like the blood vessels in the extremities, are really, really affected by it. Now, when it's your eyes, it's diabetic retinopathy. But this,
right.
it wouldn't matter. It's not going to get better because your A1C look great. I mean, this
right.
is well over time. And what's interesting is it probably started before you even recognized it. And,
well, I had diabetic retinopathy and 5 laser treatments in each eye.
Yeah, but I mean,
and
what
over
I'm saying
750 laser pulses in each eye
right.
to stop the bleeding in my eyes. And that was like 10 years ago.
Right, but what I'm saying is way before you knew that, 20 years ago,
right.
30 years ago, because there are
right.
no signs initially. And by the
right.
time you're seeing any signs, you've got a problem that may not be reversible.
Right. And then I have this sac fluid on my shoulder, and my friend, you know, who you know, takes, you know, comes by and does everything and takes me shopping. She said that's lymphatics. And she said, you got to work that out because that's affecting your eye. And the doctor goes, it has nothing to do with it, you know, because I do have this stack of fluid and on my shoulder.
I don't.
And
think,
so then,
okay, I don't. I agree with both of them in that answer, by the way.
Right.
You
right.
don't want the additional problem of lymphatic problems. But as far as directly
right.
affecting the eye, I would agree with your doctor.
Right. And so then that was that. And then so then I got the shot and I could not see a thing until I got home because you're dilated
yes.
and, you know, stuff like that. Plus it was the appointment was 3. By the time I got home,
I think 6.
It was 5:30.
Oh, yeah.
You can't see anything.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And
how about now?
It's a little clearer, you
Good.
Know.
Good.
It's a lot clearer than it was this morning,
right.
but I'll find out tomorrow morning.
Right.
And then now to go on to other things. I told you about my sister's incapable because of her problem. So I got the paperwork from the life insurance company, and I got, you know, beneficiary renewal form.
Okay.
And then I got her to send me her copy of the policy and her you know,
right.
copy of the beneficiary form. And my brother is going to take care of that,
Good.
And now he's going to take care of me. And then he made a joke today. He says, you want to be cremated or buried? And I says, well, the policy is only $15,000, so it's just going to have to be cremated. And he goes, well, I already got a plan. I'm sending it half to your ex-wife and half to your son.
No.
And I'm putting a note in the box. Daddy wanted to see you.
No. Oh, no. No, no, no. And, but by the way, $15,000, you could have a really nice funeral. But of course, with cremation.
No plot.
Well, right. With cremation, though, that's very affordable. You can usually do that for under $1,000.
Oh, no. Up here, it's, well
it, it depends what you want, but there are almost always affordable cremation places. Oh, yeah, you'll come back
right.
in a cardboard box, but they'll do it.
Right. And I heard upwards of $8,000.
Oh, no.
But
no.
There was a commercial on TV. And I couldn't see. All they had was the name on the bottom.
Right.
And they said, well, we do it real good, and we'll take care of you, and we're low cost. And so I couldn't read that.
No,
so that is.
I buried
done.
A few people, and I've never paid
right.
over $1,000.
Oh, I'm glad of that. And number two is my vehicle.
Yeah.
Now, coming at the end of March, I'll have to get, you know, it's in April, but new plates and the insurance. So I talked to my brother, and he has to talk to his wife, and he's deciding that he'll take the car for good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then he'll junk the car that's falling apart at his house.
Okay.
So I took care of that because I'll never be able to drive
no,
it.
No, of course
you know?
Not. And you don't need to be paying that insurance.
Right. Well,
okay. Hang on a minute.
I'm going
to leave you and your brother and the car there, and we'll pick it up right after the news. Don't go away.
Because food is next.
Okay, good. All right. So we'll move from car to food after the news here on WGN Radio.
Oh, why did you make it? And you know. Now is the time.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, Sergeant Pepe and Gary had good taste. The dear one, the Scarlets. And of course, the Scarlets were the predecessors to the Five Satins, both New Haven and, of course, both Fred Parris. He wrote that and was lead singer as well, 1954 on Robin. Actually, it became Red Robin. That was Bobby Robinson's label in Harlem. And he didn't realize there was another Robin. So after about three or four releases, he said, "We'll just be Red Robin." And he just kind of wrote that on the side. So that was the deal on that. On shellac and 45 RPM. All right. So get back to Jim in Richmond. All right, so we've disposed of the car from the standpoint of you won't be responsible for the insurance, and it'll help your brother out, and we're going to move to food?
Right.
Okay.
We've been working on that. You know, my friend who has to drive me every Friday,
right.
And she's
going to stop doing
quote-unquote
that.
Retiring in March.
Yes,
and
correct.
And she's going to spend the whole time up north at her campground.
Yeah.
And might be April, but anyways, we've been discussing things. And I buy the same thing every Friday, except it might add dog food in there, or I might add paper plates or cups. But I basically order the same thing, water, orange juice, you know, Marie Callender dinners. So we're going to put together, I have that order that Kim made
right,
up.
Right, exactly.
When I met with Kim, and I thank you, Kim. And she's going to go into the Walmart app. And then make a standard order for every week. And then I'm going to find out this Friday, I'm going to ask the store manager if I could call in and add something instead of having to punch it in the computer.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No, I think that's so great. Ultimately, you know, I'm sticking on this. I want you to be able to use the computer for everything because it's going to be your best friend.
But I can't see it.
I know you can't see it. That's why there are so many things that are accessible, and it's a learning curve and all that, and I want you to do this.
And I I told her on the phone last night, I want to be independent.
Well, you will not be independent until you wind up being able to get a screen reader. This is vital, Jim. Just vital.
My phone has a screen reader.
You know, I mean that yes, but you can so that you can use it in every way, shape, or form is what I'm saying.
Right.
Just
and
like you know, they have handheld devices. I don't know if you have one where you can go to the grocery store and it's going to read all the labels and everything else for you.
I don't have that on my phone, but I'm sure I could get it, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I say, I don't know if it's an app or whatever, but I had a friend who had heart surgery and went blind during the heart surgery because they gave her too much oxygen. And bottom line, and she never had a vision problem. But bottom line is within a couple of years, and this is before the internet, a couple of years, she had enough devices that, and she had one device that could read everything, read the barcodes, everything. And she could go to the grocery store and scan the frozen food section and see everything with that device.
Right. But with my brother and, you know, can't leave his wife that much. He already knows. And we're going to, there's that place in Milwaukee. I have the address and phone number and everything.
Good.
And then they have stuff like that. And one day we're going to go there and to find, I think they have 14 power magnifying glass, but that's only the size of a half dollar. But anyways, I can still read, you know. And then I was thinking the other day, remember when you were in school, they had those overhead projectors and they put paper on the thing and they turned it on and shined a big thing on the wall.
Right.
I'm wondering if that only works with clear plastic or if it works with paper. And I'm going, maybe I could go to an office store and see if they have a used one or something. I was joking around about that. I could shine it on you know, the letter that comes and shine it on the front door because it's white, you know. But that was it, you know.
Yeah, no, I remember those machines very well because my vision's so bad, they would shine it on the wall and I wouldn't be able to see the wall. Like, don't do this to me, you know.
Right.
I just wanted to see it on a book in front of me where I could hold it up to my eyes. But, yes, I remember those viewers all so well. Couldn't see a damn thing. But
right. And then, so we shop at Walmart. And then on the way home, we go right past Quick Trip. So last Friday, I normally just call in the stuff I want from Quick Trip from the kitchen, and they know me and they love me in there and everything. And but this time, and then we go and we get salads and Diet Coke, bananas, and all that kind of stuff, and chips, and maybe another pre-made dinner in there. So this last Friday, I ordered everything on the phone. And this guy, Vincent, that works there, knows me and everything. And then, and she wasn't feeling well anyways. And we went in there, the order was ready. And then I said, can I talk to Vincent? And they said, he's in a meeting. And I says, and then my friend, she really didn't want to wait, but something else came up. And then, she had to go buy her own bananas and avocado. So that worked out great because Vincent came out. And I go, okay, I called in this order. Is there a way I can get it delivered? And they have DoorDash.
Right.
And I said, so I call it in and have it delivered. And he goes, and how are you going to pay for it? You know what I mean?
Right.
And stuff like that. And so he said, give me a week till next Friday. I will call, you know,
you see what's
headquarters
available.
And we'll see what we can work something out. And he goes, how far are you? And the store is on the intersection of Route 12 and 89.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, straight down 89, 8 miles. And he goes, where's 89?
Oh, no.
And I go, he goes, I live in East Troy. So when I come up to that traffic light, I turn left. I said, if you read the sign, 89 is straight ahead.
Right, right.
I was teasing him. So we'll find out Friday about that. And then if that won't work, I figured out that I could order the stuff from Walmart to be delivered and then put an order. Oh, by the way, DoorDash is $3 to $5
okay.
or 10 to 11% if it's more than that. So my mm-hmm. orders are usually $70, $75 from
okay.
Quick Trip.
Okay.
So, you know, you're talking, you know, $8, $9 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured it out. I told my friend, told her last night. I said, worst come to worst, I put the order in. I call wall to wall. They drive me over there. I said, I'll be right out. I go in, pay for it. They'll all be, you know, bagged
yeah.
up. Grab two shopping bags and then walk out. And it'll only cost me $6, three there and three back.
Right, right.
So I figured that out. So
good.
I'm feeling real good about myself.
Well, yeah, you absolutely should. Now, by the way, I looked it up. And yes, you can use plain white paper on an overhead projector, but here is the deal. For it to be for it to be readable to you, it's got to be high contrast and large text. In other words, it's not going to be able to take just a piece of white paper with normal standard typing and put it on a wall that you can read.
Yeah, and then I forgot all about it, but I have a photocopy machine that I bought before 2013, and it's a Canon. And then the other day I was thinking, could I take that and then enlarge it in the photo thing? Because
you could play with it. That's really what it'll
right.
come down to. But yes, transparency sheets are great. But if you don't have them, as long as it's white paper, you should be okay.
Right. But if I can enlarge
right.
the
Right.
And then see if that works.
Yeah.
But I have to go. I'm thinking after 10 years, that ink is hard as a rock.
Well, the ink might not be good.
Right.
And, you know, this is something also that possibly you can try it out anywhere you're going to buy an overhead projector. You could try it out to see what it'll do.
Right. And then, so that's things that I'm not sitting on my butt.
Yeah, and that's good. And these are all wonderful stopgap measures. But, you know, eventually we got to get you to the computer age because you're going to have to do this. It's going to change your life when you do. But for now, this is a good start, and I'm impressed. So good
right.
for you.
Right. And you wanted to hear about the latchkey thing.
Yeah, what's the deal? You said you were going to tell us about that.
Okay. Now, when we were married, I was a route salesman for Jay's Potato Chips, and I was gone all day, and I was all over. Sometimes, you know, my route might be in the western suburbs. My route might be, near Cabrini greens and stuff like that.
Right.
So there was no way I could do it, you know, anything. And I was, you know, leave at 5 o'clock in the morning, go home 5 o'clock at night, you know, or 6 o'clock at night. So, and my ex, she put the kids to school, and then she would go and work in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And the grocery store was 3.5 miles away. So she just, you know, she wanted to get as many hours as she can, you know.
Right.
And so she was working, and then the boys were, luckily they were close by to the house, and before they went to high school, and the junior high was right out our back door, you know, the building was there. So
right.
The kids, she just said, go home and let yourselves in. Well, then one day, the boys, one of the boys had the big Samoyed outside and had to bring him back in. So he was bringing the dog in, and the youngest one was pissed at him. So he locked, you know, the glass screen door.
Right.
So he went to pound on the glass, and he put his fist right through it.
Oh, no.
And then he cut, and he was a star hockey player. And he cut the tendons in his right arm.
No, oh no.
And so he had to go and have it sewed up and stuff. And that was one incident. And, well, then...
Did he fully recover from that? Because cutting tendons...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he went and, played high school hockey and everything.
Okay.
This is what he was in junior high.
Yeah.
But, so he got through that. And then, the neighbor upstairs, which had to turn out to be Tad Walgreen's, one of the Walgreen grandchildren,
okay,
who was recovering from an illness. He came down and he had gauze and pads and everything. But then he ended up calling 911.
Okay.
And my ex racing home.
Right.
Because the boys called her. She gets there right when the fire trucks show up.
Oh, geez.
And then another time, they were running around the house. Somebody put toast in the toaster, and then they went back playing, whether it was video games or what. Well, the toast never popped.
Oh, okay.
So what happens when the toast doesn't pop?
It just keeps toasting.
No, it started a fire.
Well, eventually, yes, it will, of course.
Yeah,
but
that's what happened. And
yeah.
The it was right below, underneath a wooden cabinet.
Yeah.
So it burnt the cabinet and then the drape. So then they went and the boys called 911. And when they came out to take care of that, she got home right when they were pulling up.
Oh, geez.
And this was ticking me off more than anything. And then there was another incident where they were a little bit older and they wouldn't use their lunch money. They would save their lunch money because they'd come home starving. But they went, there was a novelty store at the end of our block, so the kids went over there, and then the middle boy, they were goofing around maybe with a soccer ball or something, so he slid on somebody's postage stamp front lawn, and there was metal sticking out of the lawn.
Uh-oh.
And he ripped up his knee.
Yeah.
So the owner come out and, what are you doing on my grass? And he sees my son where blood's running down.
Right.
So then that time he called 911.
Oh, geez.
And I don't know how they did it, but she got there right when, and I was so ticked off because of this, you know, and maybe that's what, you know, ticked her off on me because I was screaming at her and there's nothing I could have done, you know.
Now, was she working? I mean, why was she not at home?
Yeah, she was working at a grocery store.
All right,
she was the best. This was before they were scanners. She was the best. Checker, because she could check really fast. And it was a real small grocery store, which is my first job in the 70s when I went there, and she was working there in the 90s, you know.
Mm.
And I knew the owners and everything. But it was just, you know, and then she tells people in the store, where aren't you at home? She goes, I'd rather be here than be home with them.
Oh, God.
And I heard her say that one time because I stopped by, you know. And, that was that. I just wanted to let you know about latchkey kids.
All right, yes, I tell you what, good deal.
Yeah.
Thanks, appreciate it. Good to hear from you, Jim.
And then I'm really proud of myself right now.
Yeah.
With getting these things done.
Yes, and you will continue to do that.
And I thank all the listeners who have given me suggestions.
All right, good deal. Well, keep us posted.
Okay. Yes.
All right,
have
thanks.
A great one.
You too.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
So there you go. All right. So call 911 that many times, they get to know you. I don't know. These days, I think there's a charge for that. So, yeah, it could get pricey after a while. Well, Jack called back. We'll find out about his request. And we've got Jeffrey. We're going to talk movies. I know nothing about movies. Lisa in Morrisville got advice for Fran. I bet you it's on that AI that is plaguing Facebook and everything else. And Sherry in Naperville's got a comment for Eduardo. There's also one line available for you on WGN Radio. James, T.S. Monk, that's Thelonious Jr., by the way, Bum Bun V, 1980 on Mirage, that was Bob and Jerry Greenberg's label. So, that was a request. That was Eduardo who wanted to hear that, and hopefully he heard he did. All right, so now, speaking of requests, Jack called back. All right, so Jack, are you awake?
You sound like one of my high school teachers.
Well, after the last call, I wasn't sure. So, what do you want to request?
How about Johnny and the Hurricanes, Beatnik Fly?
Oh, okay. I'll do it.
Okay.
Probably tomorrow night. You got it. All right.
Thanks. Sounds good. Thank
All
you.
Right. Good deal. Sure thing. All right. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. So Jeffrey wants to talk about movies. All right, Jeffrey, the floor is yours. I know nothing about movies.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, there's four movies that are so historically important that people should see them because they convey a very important message. And I'll just give you the titles and the main star. I don't know if you ever heard of a movie called The Mortal Storm with James Stewart.
No, I've told you before, I've seen maybe five movies in my life. I don't like television or movies. I don't deal with it.
Okay, and anyway, I was going to give you the other three real
sure,
quick.
Sure, go right ahead. But I've never heard of them, but that's
the
all
next,
right.
Yeah, but the next one is The Seventh Cross.
Okay.
With Spencer Tracy.
Okay.
And then there's 1984 with George Orwell.
Right.
And the last one is Sahara with Humphrey Bogart.
Okay. Yeah.
But the reason I mention this is because what's going to happen in about a week's time, people should be aware of really what's going on. These movies will really wake you up or open your eyes, let's just say. And when I saw them a long time ago, I never forgot them. And I think that the terrible things that I think that may happen in the future, I think at least if you see these kind of movies, you might love your country a little bit more and want to, you know, do something at least.
All right.
But I just thought I'd wake everybody up on that. Yeah. Because I'll tell you something, that the first two, I mentioned the Mortal Storm and the Seventh Cross, if you see them, you never forget them.
Okay.
They stick with you forever.
Okay.
But anyway, you have a great night.
All right, you okay. too. Thanks. Bye-bye. Appreciate it. Yeah, I would suggest, as far as 1984, read the book. Yeah, so 888-876-5593. And if you're wondering why he decided on the title 1984, it's because he wrote it in 1948 and he just inverted the years. All right, so we've got Lisa in Morrisville. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I was calling because my husband Marcus knows Fran, and they called in last night. And I have some information for her. Amazon has a disability phone number. Doesn't cost her a thing to call it.
Oh, I think she knows about it, but go for it.
They have that phone number, and people will put the stuff in her cart for her.
No, Fran's capable of doing that stuff. Maybe you're thinking of Jim. Fran's pretty good.
Okay.
Now she doesn't want to use Amazon, I don't think, for other purposes, but the she's more savvy than you might guess. But here is the deal. Fran is, and I don't blame her, she is incensed with the concept of AI and all that.
So am I.
Well,
and I know exactly what she talks about with Rufus. I just
right.
ignore it.
Well,
I go
yeah.
down the page and just...
Right, but that's her issue. She certainly could order, I think, without... I know it shouldn't be speaking for her, but I'm pretty sure she's got all the finesse down on that. She just wants to get rid of AI, and you can't.
Yeah, I know. My husband and I dread that.
Yeah, so that's the issue. And, you know, I don't blame her. But there are some things you're just not going to avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be nice if there were competitors that were as good at giving you the service that you get. But very often, you know, it's you're kind of your one-stop shopping place, and it's that or nothing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Alrighty. I see. I don't know Fran at all. My husband does. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, Fran is very savvy.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Yeah, and no matter how savvy, you know, it's designed that you can't avoid it. And like an idiot, I said, well, you could turn off the audio. Yeah, right, but then she loses the screen reader. All right, makes no sense whatsoever. We've got Bat in Harwood Heights. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
I'm good. This is my second time talking to you.
All right.
You are a curiosity to me.
Mm.
You know, I'm not like trying to look into politics or any of that kind of crap. I like that you don't go into that stuff.
No, well, that's not what we do at night exactly. That's for somebody else.
And I appreciate that, and that's a big part of why I listen all the time.
Great, good to have you.
You when we talked last time, I asked you, do you have like a photographic memory or something about how. You can remember so much about music and history and record labels, and you said I lived it.
Well, if it's old enough, I'm going to remember it. If you ask me what I did yesterday, I'm probably not. My memory is a shred of its former self, and it actually is becoming a problem now because I used to be so good, I'd never make a list, I'd never write anything down, and I still occasionally will do that thinking that I've got that recall. Well, I don't anymore. So if it's current stuff, I damn well better write it down.
No, I'm very similar. I guess my curiosity... Did your father or your family have a radio station when you, because you not only know music, but you know 50, you know, watt power stations at night and antenna, and you know a lot more than just music.
Yeah, well, it was always an interest. No, I was a private adoption, as they like to call it, meaning I was sold in Los Angeles. And my adopted dad, he was Bolivian. He'd come to America occasionally, and he was absolutely the early 50s in R&B, fascinated with it. But no, I don't think I probably got too much from him other than maybe some good shellac 78s, you know, that he had bought. That's about it.
How did you end up on radio?
You know,
I'm just curious.
Okay, here's the deal. You can ask almost anybody who has been in radio a long time. And the bottom line is you don't get into radio. Radio gets into you. And kids who want to do this, we knew long before career day in the seventh grade. In fact, we were the smug kids in the back of the room because we knew just what we were going to do. Now, this was a problem because radio is a fickle mistress. The reality is if you're going to be good at it and you're going to do well, you are going to reach your zenith before you turn 30 years old, period. Now, at that moment in time, you go into what's next. And for some people, the answer was nothing. Now, some people might choose, I'm going to stay on the air. Well, that's fine, but be prepared to move. Now, if you're not prepared to move, then you better have a side business because you may not be on the air continually in the same city. It's just the way it works. So there's a number of factors in terms of this that kids don't think about. But that won't hit, like I say, till they hit about 30. Then suddenly, man, the impact is great. But until then, the world is your oyster, and you'll be so driven that you'll work in the worst situations under the worst conditions because, man, it's what you got to do. It's like a drug.
Hey, you know what? It's interesting you say that. Is a lot of the people I've listened to for years in Detroit and in Chicago where I live now.
Yeah.
Every one of them, they're at one station for a year or two. Then they're gone. Then they're up. They've bounced and bounced and bounced.
That's right.
Nobody gets to stay somewhere for 30 years.
You see, a few people do, but very few. Statistically, it's probably under 2%. But the bottom line is you can't count on that. So years ago when Gary Owens came to Los Angeles as a top 40 disc jockey at KFWB, initially he did cartooning on the side and, drew. And then he wanted to get into voiceover, and as a rock and roll disc jockey, that really wasn't the place to be. So he wound up going to MOR station and started a voiceover career. But bottom line was that even if he had a couple of years when he wasn't working, he still had something to fall back upon. But occasionally you'll find a morning man, who will be in a market for 30 years, but it's very seldom. And if you're not if you're not prepared to move, then you damn well better have a side business going. Now, if you are prepared to move, like, I've lived in 32 cities. I remember 1 year I lived in four different cities. Yeah. I used to say that the cheap motel should spray paint the area code on the ceiling so if I woke up in the middle of the night, I'd know where I was. But, of course, now, with all the different area codes, I wouldn't know now. Who the hell knows that 689 is Orlando, I mean, I'm still calling it 305, so it's been a lot of things since then.
You got a very interesting history and knowledge.
Yeah, well, and that's, it's true pretty much anybody. You talk to anybody who has made radio a career, they've got a similar story. I don't know anybody who on the air, obviously talk radio is a different deal, and a lot of those guys, they never played the hits, and it sounds it too. The one thing you can say about Rush Limbaugh was he had good timing. This is a guy who'd been a rock jock. It is important to the game, I think, but there's a lot of talk people who come late to the game. I don't really consider them radio people.
No. He was the right person at the right time in the right market.
Well, and he did something for radio that he's never credited for this, but he should be. Let's say that when Top 40 Radio started, it was replacing network radio, obviously. And the network radio, the old line stations that were, departed and all that, they were hanging on forever to their network programs and all this. Well, the Top 40 stations, of course, were all local and live. And so the prevailing logic was that to be successful, you had to be local and live. And what Rush Limbaugh single-handedly proved was that being local was not the same as being relatable. You don't have to be local, but you have to be relatable. And as far as I'm concerned, he should have been knighted for that, and few people ever mention it.
No, you know what? Not only relatable, but he was very smart, almost like a Bill Gates figuring out how to, what do you call it, when you put that across the entire country, not networking.
Syndication, but of course that was done for him. He didn't do it. What happened there, he was working in Sacramento, and a guy who was president of ABC Radio got fired, and one of the things that he got was the use of the ABC sales team and some satellite time. And so he is not the guy, although a lot of people thought he was, who found Rush. It was actually a consultant who used to be a program director in Los Angeles who talked him into it, said, you got to take this guy. And he did. And so Ed McLaughlin was the guy from ABC, and the consultant had been, I'm trying to think of his name right now, but he'd been PD of KBC. But anyhow, the bottom line was initially, this was so ingrained, it had to be local and live, that the first show, for the first couple of years, he did 2 hours local in New York, and then 2 hours syndicated in L.A. on KFI and some other stations. But the New York station initially balked and said, well, we're not taking a syndicated product. So it was a split show initially.
So, is it when he moved to Florida?
No. This was 1987, the beginning of his 87, I think. Could have been late 86, but yeah, that was long before that. But yeah, it was a four-hour show, 2 hours local, two network, and then ultimately he was able to do that. But in addition to timing and all of that, the other thing was initially, I was not an avid listener. I didn't listen over the years, but when I, spot check it from time to time, when he started to believe in himself, maybe that was a little different. But initially, it wasn't like, what is his view on feminism? It was words like feminazi. And he used to have this bit about the collar abortion that they made him stop. But it was hilarious. So the bits were wonderful. And it was entertainment.
A friend of mine that I used to work with, actually several friends of mine, we used to listen to him all the time. And one of the things they brought up one time is people that were like hated him.
Oh, I was just as good.
They didn't realize that a lot of it, he was just tweaking and joking with the other side.
Well,
but they were always listening.
Right. Hating is just as good as liking for this game. If you're going to be a controversial talk show host, you're going to be Joe Pyne and everybody who came after him. Hating is the same thing as loving. What you never want is the guy who says, well, I can take it or leave it sometime. Now you're dead. The guy who's just milquetoast about it. Yeah. I don't care. I don't really care. Yeah, you're dead. You want him to hate you. You want him to love you. But you also have to have the constitution for that. And these days, it is so vitriolic you really have to be of the mindset to play that game. I don't think there's enough money minted. And God knows, I've been controversial in my day. I've done that, been there, done that.
I know. I Googled you.
So, oh yeah. Well, I think there is a one of those little wikis, which is not 100% accurate. But anyway, But
when I first got hooked on your program, I Googled and I'm like, yeah. Oh, this. If it's accurate, I like her even more.
Yeah. Well. A lot of it is and some of it's not, but in any event, I was the only family person to ever defeat the LBJ family in open court in Travis County. I did that. But, it really is a lot of energy. And like I say, today, it's so vitriolic and it's so widespread. Oh. And also, it's so available because when I was doing it pre-internet for the most part. Hey, that's maybe a younger man's game. I don't know. But my feeling is that when you're talking about nighttime radio, people are not wanting to hear the vitriol of political talk. I just don't.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
I'll tell you something. It's hard, to be honest with you. It's much easier much easier to do talk than it is to not do talk. politics, yeah.
A previous call was trying to sneak that in.
Oh, I know.
I know you avoid it.
Yeah.
And that's part of why I really love your show. I don't need to hear all that crap from either side.
No, well, that's right. And if you want to hear it, there are going to be people who are going to be doing it better than me. So, it's available if you want to hear it.
I'll be 61 pretty soon.
Oh, how nice.
I've been a political and a news junkie for years. Man, I tune out a lot of it now.
Oh, I'm sure.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it from either side.
Yeah, well, they're Republicans and Republicans, so I don't know that there's two sides. It's the same coin. But in any event, you know, I'd rather just play my obscure R&B and forget about the rest of the world.
You're exactly right, and I feel exactly the same way.
All right, well, it's good to hear from you.
No, it's good to talk to you again.
All right, so now this is two. We'll go for three next time, and I'll look forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who Rita is.
Well, Rita called earlier. She did. Sherry in Naperville is going to talk to us, and Fran in Austin is going to call. So there.
Well, Rita, I heard the other day from Howard Heights.
Yes.
Like, oh, it's a neighbor that I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, maybe you'll meet her at the grocery store.
You tell her Pat said hi.
Yeah.
She won't know what.
All right. Well, you just did.
It was nice to talk to you.
Likewise, and I look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you.
Thank you for what you do.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Yeah, if you've got the Constitution for it, when you're doing politics, it's a much easier show to do because these people will give you topics till the cows come home. In fact, when I had first moved to Austin, I had a good friend who was the number one morning man in town at the time. He said, oh, you're going to love Austin. You'll never run out of things to talk about. And, you know, within months, I hate this place. This is the worst place I've ever lived. And, you know, he's, well, you never run out of things to talk about. I said, I have to live here. And, and after a while, I wound up living there part-time and going to San Antonio or Dallas on the weekends. I couldn't take it. But yeah, his theory was, well, you don't run out of things to talk about. Not enough. All right, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. James and Rita in Harwood Heights wanted to hear that. It's one of my favorites, Mr. Acker Bilk, Stranger on the Shore, and that was 1962 on ATCO. And interestingly, I just realized when I put this card on the file, I did so that it would time out to top of the hour back when I used to have to meet network. And I realized I've upcut that beginning so badly because I wanted it to be exact. Well, I'll re-record it, but in the meantime, that was most of Stranger on the Shore anyway, and I hope you liked it. But speaking of news, yeah, indeed, right after the news, we'll be back to it. But as far as what's going on in the world, somebody legitimate will tell you on WGN Radio.
I know that someday you'll want me to want you. When I'm in love with somebody else, you expect me to be true and to go right on. Pretty blue, I think that I know how to forget about you, and I know someday you're gonna want me to. to really want you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that when is Delarice. Yeah, James on the South Side requested two Patsy Cline's, Always and Someday You'll Want Me to Want You. Someday You'll Want Me to Want You is one of those records that's been done like 400 times by different people. And I thought, well, let's give Delarice a shot on that this time. 1961 on RCA. All right, so I played the Vitones. Yeah, the mystery of my life is the Vitones. All right, here's the deal. They were on Shamal Records, that's Chamal. I've come to believe that that's probably two different people's names, CHA and then the MAL, because the word records is kind of between that. But regardless, it's Shamal number one. There is no Shamal number two. There's absolutely no information on the Vitones at all. In fact, if you try to research this on YouTube or whatever, you're going to come back to me usually. But Ronnie I had played it years ago, UGHA. And bottom line is nobody. Now, Val Shively has a copy. He paid $1,000 for his. Oh, my God. But it probably worth it, really. But so anyway, I played it for Linda in Richardson Park. And so what'd you think of it, Linda?
I think it's pretty nice. Mm-hmm. You know, you told me to call you back.
Yeah.
And you played the Blue Moon that you like.
Yeah.
And you told me to call you back and let you know how I liked it. And I liked it. It was really nice. The Blue Moon. I had requested the other Blue Moon.
The Marcells. Yes, which I will be playing
right
for you. Probably, I might play that tonight, actually. But yes, I played the Marcells Blue Moon. You betcha. Be happy to.
Yeah, it was really nice. And I wanted to ask you, a lot of the people in your audience, they talk about the blind problems they have. You know,
yeah.
I have a serious one. But I was just wondering, what could a person do when it's your eyes is like their headlights is shining in your eyes, you know, from a car, it's so bright. Mm. What could you do to get that brightness down? I use eye drops. It's not helping me at all. So I thought maybe something.
The answer is going to come down to what's causing it. Do you know? It's glare. But what's causing that level of glare?
I have no idea because I can't see anything now. So I got an appointment to go to the hospital. They got this research hospital, University of Illinois. They told me, I called last Friday, and they told me they need a little bit more of my information. I didn't have it because I couldn't read the numbers off of my insurance card. So they told me to call back that following Monday. When I called them back, they told me they didn't have anything available for me until April 28th.
Oh, jeez.
I said, my God. I said, when I talked to you Friday, you told me you could give me a March appointment.
Yeah.
And she said, we fill up just that fast. I said, oh, my God. So I got to sit and wait with this brightness in my eyes. So I said, well, I guess I can take it. I just watch what I eat and try to do, and I listen to other people that have problems. I said, mine's probably, you know, I'm just hoping I can get my sight back.
Absolutely. Now, do you have any known eye problems right now that you know you've got?
Well, I know I got the glaucoma.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm a diabetic, but that's right. About all the doctor that I had.
And with glaucoma, you're getting checks regularly, and you're doing the drops, and your pressure is pretty good at this point.
Yeah, usually be pretty good. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, 10 and 13 or something like that. But she referred me to a research clinic in Wheaton, Illinois. I don't have a way to get out to Wheaton, Illinois.
Right.
I called and told her there's no way I could get to Wheaton. Everybody I know is working a job. I need a support group to do that.
Right.
So I decided to just go to the University of Illinois. I've heard a lot of good talk about people that lost their eyes, sight, from different things,
right,
you know, different situations. I said, maybe they could do something for me.
Well, hopefully. So,
the
big thing is you first want them to diagnose why you have the problem. And there's a bunch of things. Usually it's going to be related to the cornea in some way. But there's probably a dozen different things that could be leading to this. And the first thing you want to know is what's causing it.
You're right. Well, you know, the thing of it is I had a doctor, and I stuck with him, and he wanted me to stick with him, but I had to let him go. He wanted the pressure out of my eyes, and he put these bags, like, under each eye with a little string and let the water drip out. and it didn't work that long.
Right.
And the string was hanging outside my eye, and I went to another doctor. They call him Dr. Q, and he was asking, who did this? Who put these, I forget what they call them. They're like little bags. You can feel it on top of your eyelids. So I told him Dr. Kardashian. Then he said, go back over and tell him he did a poor job.
Oh, jeez.
Have him to fix this. So I went back to Dr. Kardashian, and I let him look at it, and he started cursing. And I said, oh, my God. So he said, well, I'll fix this. And he called himself fixing it. And a month or two later, I was having problems. The water wasn't coming out. The eye was all puffy.
Oh.
So I went to a glaucoma specialist. And she said, oh, I got to take you to surgery. And I'll make a knot to the string here. We won't take the bags out. So I want those bags out. They're not doing anything. Because the doctor keeps saying, he said that my optic nerves, there was no blood circulation. That's why I can't see. So I'm saying, oh, all right, the optic nerves, there's no blood circulation. So anyway, she left the bag in there. It's just a mess, you know. So I don't know what's going on.
Right. And I mean, it could be just from glaucoma, but what you're saying now is your pressure is pretty good, so it's not a current pressure buildup, but there's so many things it could be. But usually from what I know, corneal related more than optic nerve.
Yeah, I went to a Dr. Nick so he can look at my for the cornea. He said, oh, your cornea is fine. I thought maybe I needed another one put back in. So he just gave me these water pills, 250 milligrams twice a day. I said, my God, that's quite a bit. So I let my other doctor look at it. He said, oh, no, don't take it. And I let my other glaucoma specialist, I still know that milligrams are too high. But when I asked the pharmacist, he said, fine, if you don't have any liver problem, go for it. So, yeah, I'm twisting between with it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's terrible. I hate to hear it, and God knows I don't have the answer, but I always say it's the practice of medicine because they're still practicing. But, you know, I would think, now, of course, if the glaucoma is enough that it did damage the optic nerve, that's a whole different situation. But I would think normally if it was just a glaucoma thing that when you had your pressure lower, it might not completely eliminate it, but it would be better. And what you're saying is your pressure's good, and you've still got the glare. So, maybe that's.
And my glaucoma, and my diabetes never ever out of control. Very little time.
Right.
That's why I couldn't understand. And my doctor, he looked at me. He said, "Can you see me now?" And I said, "I can't see. I just an image of you."
Oh,
he couldn't believe how my eyes went out. It was like, I guess, around June or July of last year, I could see pretty good, read pretty good and everything. Then all of a sudden, one day, it started to fade away. And now I just see brightness in my eyes.
Right, and time is critical. I mean, waiting till April, that's terrible. The minute you were having reduced vision was the time to run to somebody, but you are, and they didn't help you. So, oh, my God.
No, they didn't.
Oh,
Dr.
man.
Farouk, she just said, are you taking these drops still? Oh. You still take? I said, yes. She said, continue taking them.
Well,
I'll see you in two, 3 months. And then I go back. Are you still taking it? I said, yes, I am. And she said, I'll see you in 2-3 months. So I've been to several doctors, and they all have different opinions. So I said, well, I don't know. I'm going to try the University of Illinois. I'm going to see if that will help me. You know, I even took some supplements that made me sick as a dog.
Yeah.
So I said, that didn't help.
Oh, man. Man, well,
living by myself is kind of rough, you know.
Well, right. And it's heartbreaking that some of them help might be in Wheaton, but you can't get there.
No, I can't get to Wheaton. No one will take me to Wheaton.
Well, yeah, it's not exactly close.
So, I've been suggested to go to Mayo Clinic. So I said, well, I'm going to try to University of Illinois first and see if they can help me out at all. And all the different equipment you were talking about, reading equipment. And when you go, they have a store, the Lighthouse in Chicago.
Yeah.
That costs thousands of dollars. Trust me. You can get an ink pen to read anything you want. Oh. Okay, identify. You're talking $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah,
and people say, well, you can use your cell phone, and it'll tell you this. I can't see my cell phone to do that.
Yeah.
So I feel uncomfortable. But I do have my sister. She helps me out a lot.
Good.
She hauls me around, but I just can't get to my church. I can't go. I used to see the choir pretty good, but now I haven't been to church since I've been sick in June. So,
oh man, I just hate to hear this because I really think time is so important. That when you first started having the problem, you know, that's when somebody should have helped you, and they didn't. So,
right, Dr. Farrow, it made me so mad. I told my sister. She would be sitting down listening to music in the back, her Hawaiian music, and then she let her nurse's aide or whoever, Bonnie, would come out and check my eyes out and say, oh, it's looking pretty good. Can you see the letters on the wall? And I was like, that guy saw one big letter, that was all. It's either the D or the E, and she knows that, so she figured I just guessed it, but I really did see it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So I'm praying to God I get my eyesight back. But if I don't, I'll be happy just the same. I'll just find something to do. Maybe write a book about my life or talk to people about God's word and listen to your show, which I enjoy so much.
Well, no, I appreciate that tremendously, but I just wish there was somewhere you could go. I just looked it up online. I don't know. But have you ever heard of the Kraft Eye Institute or Chicago Arbor Eye? There are some places that supposedly specialize in it. Of course, you mentioned University of Illinois, and they have a nationally recognized center, and that's great, but April's not. Mm-hmm. Now, have you thought about asking them to let you know if there are any cancellations?
Yeah, they said they'd call me if they had any cancellations.
Okay,
they
good.
Said they got... They're backed up, you know, so I said, well, I'll just hang in there. But in the meantime, there is a Dr. Johnson in Blue Island. He runs a commercial there. He has specialists in his office. So he said, well, come and get a second opinion. I said, well, since I'm not doing anything, waiting to go to the hospital on the 28th, I might make an appointment to see Dr. Johnson in Blue Island. That's not too far from me.
Yeah.
So,
well,
it
can hurt. I just, you know, there's an answer here, and clearly you have not been getting it. And I just hope they can do something before something becomes permanent.
Yeah, I don't want it to be permanent. On some days, I can see shadows. I can see my son's face.
Yeah.
I can see a little something in the kitchen, the lights and things in the kitchen. So I said, that's giving me a sign that, you know, it's want to come back. It really want to come back.
Right.
So try not to worry because nothing in the world is worse than worrying over
something
that you just can't change, you know? So
exactly.
I'm doing the best that I can, but I enjoy your show. I heard a song. It was you. At one time, I heard you say you like country music.
Oh, yeah.
And I just listen to all kind of crazy music all day long in different states. And I heard this one song. It was called Hunting Boogaloo. And it was funny. And the guy was talking about he was going hunting and found this woman he wanted to marry. And he went to ask her father, could he marry her? And he said, no, get away. He said, before I shoot you. And he pulled his gun out on him. He said he was trying to outrun the buckshot. It was funny. It was a funny song. But
I'll bet you it was Hill Country Boogaloo.
It probably was.
Yeah.
But it was so funny. I laughed.
Yeah. Yeah,
I can get a smile. I'll be home by myself a lot of times.
Yeah, I think it was Stoney LaRue did Hill Country Boogaloo. I'll look for that. If I have it, I'll play it. Otherwise, you'll get Blue Moon coming up.
Oh, okay, that'll be great. And I'll be calling again sometime because I really love your show.
Always good to hear from you.
I'm not going to hold you for long. I said, well, I doze off sometimes. I go doze off and then I wake back up and I said, dang. I don't want to miss James. I got to know what the news is
going
on. Yeah,
right, exactly. All right, good deal. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we have Sherry, we got Jim, we got Sam, we got Fran, and hopefully you two on WGN Radio. ¶¶
head straight for the middle with those sweet rolling hills. I lead you right down to the river. We got ways of making music, but all just love to play. We get everybody dancing in our own kind of way. We're in the hill country boogaloo. You gotta want some barbecue with your John T. Flores tamales. Float down the Guadalupe on a lazy summer day. Cruise on over to Greenhall, baby, we'll dance the night away. Doing that hill country boogaloo. Doing that hill country boogaloo.
WGN Radio. I'm Ali James. Stoney LaRue, Hill Country Boogaloo. It was on his first album, actually, which I think was, if I'm not mistaken, self-published. But he's a live act. He's in New Braunfels this weekend, and then I think next weekend he's in Key West. So he gets around. Stoney LaRue and the Organic Boogie Band. Yes, and indeed. And so, yeah, that was, I think that was like, oh, man, 2019? It's fairly recent, I think. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll check out the world at large, and then we'll be back to it. We got everybody. Sherry and Fran and David and Sam and Jim coming up on WGN Radio.
Bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon, 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 blue moon. Dip, 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 moon, 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 dip, 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 dip. Bomb, 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 dang, 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 ding, and on, ding, blue, moon,
blue, blue, you saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart.
Bomb, dang, 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 ding, and on, ding,
blue, moon, you knew just what I was there for.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Pittsburgh's own the Marcells. Yes, Cornelius Harp on lead, 1961 on Colpix. And yeah, big hit. Colpix probably released 25 records on them in 61. It was unbelievable. And that was the only hit. 62, not quite as many, but man, Friendly Loans. That came out in, I guess, February or so of 62. I thought Friendly Loans was just hilarious.
Go, 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 go. Hurry, 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 hurry. Get. I get over to Friendly Loans. We want to see you at Friendly Loans. That neighborly low-cost, long-term, uptown, no-down payment.
My baby said she'd marry me, but there was just one thing.
What?
I had to go and buy her a great big diamond ring. I didn't have no money, I didn't know where to go, until I heard that fella say on the radio.
I get, I get over to Friendly Loans.
And you know how it comes out. Of course, ultimately, the friendly people from Friendly Loans repossess everything. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Fran and Austin, what's up, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. Everything's hurting tonight, but other than that, I'm here.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's one of those things, like, my hands hurt, my shoulders hurt, my knees hurt. What do I have? I guess my hair doesn't hurt.
Yet.
Yet, yeah.
Yeah.
I give it time.
Yeah.
But, yesterday I didn't have to go to my doctor's appointment after all because they called and told me she was sick, but I don't get another appointment until March.
Oh, John says you're basically in the same boat with him, identical.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so he relates.
Oh, man, yeah. Thanks for that. It makes me feel better to feel I'm not alone in it anyway.
Right, exactly.
But I was talking about Lisa's call. Thank you, Lisa, for that. And, yes, I remember Marcus well. Marcus was part of Gary. There are these phone groups. It would take forever for me to explain what and how they work. But
yeah.
Blind people flock to them like crazy.
Yes.
They just do. He was part of Gary had a computer users group on there. And he was definitely a very much contributing part to that group. He knows his stuff when it comes to computers. I still wish Gary had the computer group around and still wish I could pick his brain.
Yeah.
But anyway, the problem isn't so much getting the stuff in the car. You're right. I know how to do that. I do a lot of internet shopping. And there's things I like about it and things that drive me nuts,
right.
One of which you can't really look at anything. But that's the problem. If I know what I want on there, I can look it up. But there are all these pictures,
mm-hmm.
And then it says how it would look in your room.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And all these things, and it freezes my speech.
Oh, God.
Sometimes when it gets into those things, and I can't get into anything but how would it look in your room, and then it goes to Ask Rufus.
Uh-huh.
And I want some information about the product. And it used to be that they would have pictures, and then they would have some kind of a description, a visual description.
Mm-hmm.
Now it seems that either I'm getting hung up and it's there and I can't find it, or they no longer have the visual description and you have to rely on Rufus for whatever information you want. Now, of course, the information I want, I might not be able to get anyway because one of the things I want to know, I'm trying to buy an air fryer.
Ah.
And I want to know if everything is just one thing on a button.
Yes, that would be good to know.
Yeah, because if it's a flat screen, okay, that's not a problem. I can braille it. You know, I'm used to making things. Sometimes we have to make things accessible.
Right.
And that's the thing that's hard to explain to some younger blind people, is that sometimes we have to make things accessible.
Right, exactly.
And the days where you could just get something out of the box and plug it in and think you might be able to use it, no.
Right.
Those are gone. But, the questions I usually have are questions that Rufus doesn't have the answers to, or either that or I don't know how to frame it the right way for its algorithm to deal with it or something like, it's not a matter necessarily.
There's another problem. Rufus lies. You know, the information is not necessarily accurate.
I got that impression.
Yeah, Rufus is absolutely a liar.
Well, it's like the thing it'll say about these air fryers. You can put 4 pounds of French fries in there. Okay, well, I was looking at one of these that you can put 2 things in at the same time, and they can be different kinds of things, and they'll be done at the same time. And,
right.
You know, this guy had one who's on, I'm on this cooking list for blind people, and he had one, and he said, "Oh yeah, it's even. You can just press the thing, and it goes every 5 degrees, and the timer goes every minute, and so forth." Not the one I got.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So then I found out he's in Canada. So I thought, well, maybe they've got a different one in Canada. I don't know.
Right.
So anyway, I'm trying to find out about these things and all I'm seeing are how would it look in my room. You know, I want some idea of, you know, some of the functions, some of the other things, and a lot of the questions that were asked were not the questions I had.
Right.
Because they have, like, 63 questions that other customers have asked. You know, and most of it's just, I don't even think it's real questions. I think it's just things that they're putting on there to make the thing sound good.
I'm sure that's right.
You know, it's not anything real.
Right.
And so, you know, that's basically what it's complaining about. I mean, I can fill my cart. I have no problem. I have the bank statements to prove it. I have no problem with
it. Yes, exactly. That's right. Yeah, I relate to that. Yes, yes.
But so I went today to try to find a new one. I actually went to Target to replace this one that I had.
Yeah.
And I had a sighted friend with me. And so, you know, she was showing me some of the ones in the button layouts. We tried to get them to, you know, just plug it in so I could see what the distance was with the temperatures. No.
Yeah, like that.
So I asked him. I asked him if he happened to know that.
Right.
Oh, I've never used one of these. Yes, but you sell them. You should know something about them.
Right.
But I didn't say that.
Right, exactly. That's right. Exactly right.
But, you know, even if you can go in and actually look at a thing, and, you know, and that's hard to do these days because a lot of times I was just lucky they had a floor model out, but they didn't have any. I found one model I liked, and they didn't have one, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They only had the floor model, which they would not sell me, which actually I didn't want anyway because you get the floor model, you don't get all the documentation and, you know, all that with it usually. So
right, exactly.
You get what you pay for. I mean, you might pay less for that, but, you know, so that was basically, I mean, I can fill in my cart and do all that stuff very well. I didn't know that Amazon Shopping would do that, though. That their help center would do that. I've only called them when they've had a you know, charge dispute or something like that.
Right.
I didn't know. Maybe I might try calling them and see if they will describe some of these pictures.
Yeah. Well, right.
You know, so that maybe I can get some idea of what, you know what it is. You know, without. Because, as I say, they used to have a little description, and now it seems that all they have are pictures, and a lot of times those pictures totally, you know, mess up my speech.
Yes.
And I have to arrow around until I can, you know, just finally, kind of by accident, hit or miss, get my speech back.
Oh,
and
man.
So, and then everything seems to be getting more and more cluttered with all of this stuff about... in 400 people's carts, you know, order this, last February 3rd, or, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know, just let me get what I want to get. I don't care who got it last. I don't care how many people buy it.
Right.
I'm not trying to win a popularity contest.
Right.
I mean, sometimes it is good to see how something is rated to see, well, you know, maybe it's good, you know, but that's not always an indication.
Right, exactly.
So there's nothing like actually being able to go and put your hands on it and you know, and get it. But even that, as I say, you can't tell the buttons on this one I was looking at look perfectly usable and labelable, but I don't know whether they have anything that's two things on one function.
Right, which will kill you, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, because as long as it's just one function, one thing, and as long as it will default to a certain temperature, and you go up, like, the one I accidentally bought would go up 5, and then it would go up another 10, and then it would go, so it wasn't even, like,
right.
Every 5, or, you know. So we were going to make a chart, you know, on all this, and try to make it so that eventually I'd memorize it.
Right.
But we've decided that it wasn't quite... big enough if we wanted to do two different things. So I decided to take it back. But, yeah, they wouldn't, you know, back in the day, they would plug things in for you sometimes or, you know, let you play around with it a little bit. Not anymore. And in fact, most of the time, I remember one time I went to get something. I can't remember now what it was. It was a couple of years ago. And they wouldn't even open the box. It was like a cassette player or a radio or some small thing. And they wouldn't even open. They said, if we open the box for you, you have to buy it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, there are things, not only things that are tactile that you have to touch, but, for instance, if you use CPAPs or BiPAPs or ASV, you want a different mask because it's just not working. No, you can't try on masks. No, you can't hold and feel masks. You just have to kind of look at the book and, you know, decide, well, you think this one will be good? It's just crazy.
Yeah, I know. That's another thing I got to get straightened out. I need a sleep study in the worst way.
You should do that.
I can't find anybody that will let me come in at night. I mean, during the day.
Oh, yeah, no, come on. There are. There absolutely are. Because John has to do them fairly regularly in the past several years. And, yeah, there are plenty of places that, you know, I'll be there at 4. And they're, okay. And that's a.m.
Yeah, they'll tell me, well, you have to be here by 8:30 or something. No, yeah. I can't. You know, I'm a day sleeper.
Right. No, there are call more places because there's got to be somebody. I you know, forget about it if you can't.
I told this one place. I said, there's got to be a way. I said, not just I'm not the only day sleeper in the world. There are shift workers.
That's right.
You know, it's not just, you know, there's got to be a way to accommodate people like
that's
us.
Right. And there are. I just keep calling around, find somebody, because everybody can't. Because, you know, firstly, it's not a legitimate sleep study if those aren't the hours you sleep.
No. No, in fact, that's what happened. A lot of times I would go in to do a sleep study.
And you wouldn't sleep.
And I wouldn't sleep, and they'd come in to get me, and I hadn't slept, you know, but maybe... They'd say, well, you slept for about 20 minutes between such and such and such and such. I don't remember that, but,
right.
You know, I didn't give them enough, you know, to go on. And I thought, well, if you'd let me come when I want to, you might be able to get the data you need.
Right, exactly. Exactly. No, there are places that will let you do that.
Yeah, well, I got to wait till I find one, I guess, because so far the ones I've seen, you know, just will not bend on that.
No, and
I just don't understand it because I'm sure, as I told them, I'm sure they have shift workers and, you know, a lot of other people, you know, who sleep during the day. I'm not the only one. I know that.
No, you're not. Call other places. Call them all. Just go down the list. Call them all. There's got to be.
Some of them don't take my insurance.
Well,
but,
that can be a problem, yes.
Yeah.
All right. No. Well, good to talk to you as always. Thank you.
Sir, thanks.
Okay, good. Okay, bye. All right, so 888-876-5593. We'll get to Sherry next. She's been hanging on a long time. I hope she's not asleep. And hopefully we'll also get to David and Sam and Jim. And if not, remember tomorrow night. We'll be a half hour late tomorrow night, but we will be on the air. So all is not lost on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper since we're running out of time, and I want to see if we can get everybody in here, but I don't know. Sherry in Naperville, are you still alive? I hear something in the background. Sherry could still be with us. Are you there, Sherry? I don't know. I think Sherry might be asleep. All right, so I'm not 100% sure there, but hey, she hung in there as long as she could. David in DeKalb, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yes, I oh boy, short on time. I have some an idea for Jim in Richmond.
Yes.
If he is not already, he needs to be a patron of the National Library of Congress Talking Books and order a book called Mastering Diabetes. I forget the center of the title in that book, but it goes on for type 1, type 1.5, type 2, gestational, and prediabetes. These are two men who, independent of each other, had... type 1 diabetes, one diagnosed at age 10, the other at age 20. And again, independent of each other, doing what their doctors told them, found that they were increasingly needing more and more insulin, and they were told this is normal. Independent of each other, they started looking around and found there was research that diet could reverse that. And that's what this book is about. Now, for type 1 people, it won't reverse it completely, diabetes, but it greatly reduces the amount of insulin that they use. And for type 2, it can reverse their diabetes. And I myself have switched to a plant-based way of eating because I'm totally blind myself. And you can Google my name, David Kuhn, K-U-H-N, and then put blind grandpa runs for granddaughter who has cystic fibrosis in 2014. I was running 20 miles a day, and I ran a total of 1,899 miles from Seattle, Washington to Kenosha, Wisconsin. So just down the street from me here in DeKalb. And my cholesterol started going through the roof. My blood pressure started going through the roof. My A1C, I developed arthritis, and my kidneys started shutting down.
Wow.
I got home. And I got home. I could not. The luck, just plenty of luck here. I was listening to David Ross, who was on WBBM, syndicated nationwide. He had those short commentaries. He was talking about an article a medical doctor wrote called "You Cannot Out-Exercise a Bad Diet." And I literally raised my hand in front of the radio and says, "Do you need a poster boy?" Immediately after that was Dan Buettner touting his book, The Blue Zones, 9 Lessons on Living Longer from the People Who Live the Longest. And these are 5 places in the world where people live a lot longer, up to 100 years in greater numbers than other places. And the focus is on a plant-based way of eating. Some of them do eat meat a small amount once a week. And that afternoon, I met with my doctor. He put me on a ton of heavy-duty medications. And instead, I ordered that book. I read it, switched to a plant-based way of eating, and reversed everything. And I am 72, totally blind. Since then, I've done 6 full Ironman, 8 half Ironman, a bunch of sprints. I ran well over 50 marathons. In fact, I'm getting ready to go down to Houston to run another one. And my health, it just keeps improving. And I'm getting faster, even though I'm getting older.
All right, good deal. Good testimony. Thank you.
Okay, and all right.
I sure appreciate it. And, I wrote it down, and hopefully Jim heard it. But if not, Mastering Diabetes, got it.
Yep, I actually have a ton of other books, but I know you need to get going, so maybe another time.
Okay, good. I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Bye.
All right, so I've got a minute. Oh, man, that means Jim in New Hampshire's got to call me tomorrow. And we're on, by the way, only a half hour late, so that's 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern. Call early, Jim. Sam in Gurnee has 30 seconds here. All right, Sam, they're yours.
Hey, Raleigh, I'm going to do it as quick as I can. First, I think a ton of your callers abuse you, so I think you're such an awesome person for tolerating what you do. But I was calling to ask about JFK had, I just learned today that JFK had an assassination attempt in 1960, and I thought you'd be the person to ask about it.
All right, call me tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
God bless.
Appreciate it. All right, so apologies again to Jim, and so we will be a half hour late tomorrow night, but after that, we got 2.5 hours to spend together, and I hope you'll call. That's pretty much a wrap. We thank, in fact, it's completely a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.